Well, I'm delighted to say that I've been joined in studio by Philip Buchanan, the chairman of Cranford United Football Club, and also Kevin Logue, assistant secretary and long-standing member of various committees down through the years, of course, and a big figure within the club. Philip, just going to start with you. 1976, that's when it all began. So this weekend, it's a particularly big one. It's a milestone, and you've got some celebrations planned.
Chris, thanks very much for having us on, and really happy to say that, you know, our 50th year, and we have quite a day organised for Saturday. So we start off with some underage games down at the Cranford Park from 4 o'clock. We have an over-40s select, I would say, team of teams of players that will join us then from 5:30. And we're moving then up to Lowes of Cranford, barbecue at 7:30, and the main event, I guess you could say, kicking off at 8:30 in the evening.
So a big event to look forward to. Kevin, how did the club actually come about in Cranford in the mid-70s?
I suppose the club came about that time when there was no football in Cranford at the time. They weren't playing in the Donegal League, and there were football in Milford and Remelton and Fannin and all. So Tom Logue, he decided that he wanted to get a team together, and he approached a few of the local lads, and then he made contact with Father Michael Sweeney, and Father Michael was instrumental in getting us into the Donegal League in 76, so he played a big part in it. At that time too, we were developing the field from the year before as well, down in the park itself. We developed it from a 7-a-side field to an 11-a-side field.
So, and there'd been indoor football there a couple of years beforehand?
The indoor started 2 years before in the community centre. We had built a big community centre down there. It was one of the first of its kind too as well, and we had a massive tournament there for a long number of years, and people came from all over to play in it, from Derry and from Strabane and Letcher, all around the whole county. Gidor was a big advocate for us as well too. They came over a lot too as well.
Cranford have been in a number of different divisions, but I suppose the glory years, would you call that, in the 90s, you had a particularly good spell?
We did, Chris. I would say that actually it didn't take that long to settle, because in 1977, Cranford actually won the third division. So we really got off to an excellent start from the first team. Really, really good team of players, and many of the names still involved in the club through the years, which we're delighted and still part of the club. I suppose we moved around the Premier First Division then for quite a number of years. There was a spell when we actually amalgamated with Glenree in the very early 80s as well for a couple of years. But there was a period between 1998 and 2000 under Eddie McGinley that was really successful for the club, where 1998 we won our first ever Bray McCormick. We backed it up the following year with winning the Bray McCormick again, along with the Paddy McFadden the same year. And all those cups were won when we were in the first division, you know, playing against the real titans of the Premier League at the time, Duncan Ealy, who were, I think, around that period won four leagues in maybe 5 years. An excellent side there, and we would always come up against them either in the final or semi-final, but we seemed to have a read on them, you know. So Eddie was working some magic, I think, around that time, you know. And then in 2000, at the end of that period, or that team, you could say, we won the first division and moved back to the Premier then after that.
And Kevin, I suppose it's a sign of the strength of the club and the community. There were periods that things weren't going so well on the field, and there were no doubt challenges, but the club is still here, and you got through those lean periods.
And we had a lot of very good local support as well too. Like, I mean, the local people stood by us all the time and came out through thick and thin, you know. And we had players too that travelled a lot first. You know, you don't like naming names, but the like of Bernard Galler up from Gartin there, and we had Seamus McFadden and DB. Them boys all stood by us all through the years, no matter when we were winning or losing. So, you know, it's a great thing for them to stand by us like that all the time.
And Philip, the current setup, apart from the men's, the senior team, the Donegal League team, what else have you got within the club?
Yeah, so up until 2 years ago, we ran the Sunday team and the Saturday team. We haven't got a Saturday team now for the last two seasons. We're kind of going back through a bit of a rebuilding phase, I would say. We got promoted from the second division to the first last season, which is great. But also we have our first youth team in 30 years. We just completed the season. James McEwen DB took on that. James came with the idea of it. There's a lot of young players, especially through the sort of Glenree Academy, and also through other teams in the area, but they're maybe not football for everyone. So this gave an opportunity, and we saw a real opportunity for our club to step in there, give them some football, and also obviously have a pathway then into our Sunday team. Yeah. So at the minute we're running a Sunday team in the first division and a youth team as well.
And ground development facilities, if you look at pretty much all the clubs, what's in place now compared with 50 years ago, huge changes. And again, in the case of Cranford Park, there has been a fair bit of investment.
There has, Chris. And we were so lucky that in 1976, 77, and obviously before that, that, you know, people like Tom Logue and others had the foresight to think about developing a pitch down there. Anyone that goes down there, it's an actual kind of amphitheatre. It's a really unique place right on the banks of Moray Bay. And we, in the last number of years especially, have really looked to see how we could develop that with the likes of ball stops, fences. We've got more facilities down at the pitch itself as well, because we want to make sure that what we do and where we leave the club is in a better state as well. But I think it all comes back to the people that were involved right at the start, because when you go down and you have a look, and even if you think about the machinery that was available at that time, this was not an easy task. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't that much money. There's a big piece in the paper, one of the things we've done up. It talks about a £20,000 investment to get the pitch even off the ground, which was huge money at that time, and took a lot of real commitment and belief from people that this was going to be a success. So we're very happy to continue that, to keep developing. We've been very, very lucky that the local councillors have supported us, Sports Capital, a number of grants like that, the DFA grant from the Donegal County Council, and all that really has really helped us keep the club in the state that it's in.
Now, Kevin, the club colours, yellow and blue, pretty distinctive colours. At the start, no doubt people were sitting down and they had to decide on the colours. So do we know how it all came about?
Well, I think the main reason was that there wasn't too many other teams having yellow and blue, so you didn't have to be changing every week, but I think that's how it really came about. But the very first team had yellow and blue, and it stuck for a few years. And then we had the blue, we had the natural blue colour then just. So we have a new kit coming out this year now, which mixes the two ends.
Yeah. And club merchandise, Philip, these days is sort of part of the bigger picture, isn't it? It's not just that the first team players who have it, like the wives, the girlfriends, the kids, there's polo tops. Exactly. It's an income stream.
It is. And then, we've only really embraced that in the last couple of years where we have a club shop now that has, anyone can go on and buy whatever they want. We have a new kit, as Kevin said, coming out. Which I think is really embracing the yellow and blue, as you say. We did go through a few reincarnations. I think at one stage the West German white top was one, and the Argentinian was another. So we're firmly back with the blue and yellow. And you're right, Chris. I mean, to be able to work with the likes of the club shop to generate some income and also give people the opportunity to support the club.
Yeah. And it helps with all that identity. And speaking of identity, I know on Facebook there's been a sort of a Netflix-like trailer documentary pieces online. Some people may have seen it promoting this weekend, and it's certainly compelling stuff.
Thanks, Chris. Well, we have a Milford man, Paul Nash, to thank for his help and support with that. And the idea, again, it's just really to generate some interest and see if we can help publicise the evening. We're doing, trying to do a lot of things. It's gone very well, and thanks for the feedback. We're also obviously trying to work on the papers. And thank you very much again, Chris, for the opportunity to come here in Highland Radio, because we really want this to be, all about the 50 years, not just about people that are involved in the club today or in the last 5 years, but right going back, stretching back. And some people that maybe were involved have disconnected a bit for the club, or people played 30, 40 years ago. We really want, everyone to come and enjoy the evening. This is not going to be about any specific few years in the club. It really is about the longevity and the 50 years. Yeah. So we're really looking forward to it.
And great, there'll be faces, old faces, people who haven't seen each other for years, and that'll certainly be part of the occasion. And as part of the weekend as well, there's a Brian McCormick regional semi-final against your near neighbours, Kilmacrenan. That's been brought forward to Friday.
It has, and again, we'd like to thank our close friends in Kilmacrenan. You know, the two clubs have always been very much interlinked ever since Lurgy Celtic actually folded, you know, back, you know, probably 30 years ago. So there's been very close connections between the two clubs, and whenever we reached out to Kilmacrenan to look about adjusting the fixture to help us with the timing, there was no problems there. So it's on Ballyar on Friday night, 7 p.m. So hopefully we can get the weekend off to a good start.